Good morning, everyone. Just want to mention something about the concert this afternoon. Who's heard about the concert? Most of you, that's good, 5 o'clock, it is going to be special. It's not just going to be me, there's going to be my friend, Oliver Toth, who has just flown in from Hungary a few days ago. He is a very good violinist and he's extremely good at improvising. So that's like a bonus enhancement. And so it will be special. Also, my girlfriend Paula on flute, and it should be a great time. It is a free concert, so I do expect you to bring all your friends as well. So that'll be awesome time together. My hands hopefully will forgive me tomorrow because they are still getting used to this weather. And, you know, I grew up in New South Wales, in South New South Wales, which is not that much warmer than here during winter. But I've been away for a couple of years in some warmer country, and I forgot what it was like to be cold. I was complaining of the cold in Brisbane, and it's actually really nice and warm up there at the moment. But, yeah. Actually, a few weeks ago, I was up there on the Sunshine Coast in Queensland listening to Pastor Terry preaching, and then I was here and I met him and I'm like, man, I'm unworthy to be speaking here with him, but I just pray that the words will do something and will still be a blessing. So I'd just like to bow our heads, have a little prayer before we get into things. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your presence here, and we just pray that you'll be with each and every one of us, that we will be able to have your warmth, that we will be able to receive your word and gain something out of this time in your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A lot of things that I tend to be thinking about when it comes to spiritual things and what to share and what to talk about from the Word are things to do with my own experience, struggles that I have or things that I'm going through. And this is what I'm going to be talking about now. And as a young person, I've had a bit of time with working with other young people and trying to encourage them in their spiritual walk. And I guess I understand as well the struggles, especially with young people. I think it's with all of us, but with young people in a world that is always trying to influence us away from spiritual things to get us as far away from that as possible and to forget about God. But I think the thing is, we're all looking for fulfillment. We're looking for satisfaction. We're looking for purpose. We're looking for something that will fill us from this void, this emptiness that we have. And so I know I have experienced a lot of fun thrills. I grew up on a farm. We did water skiing along a channel towed by a ute or a car beside the channel instead of a boat because you weren't allowed a boat in the channel. We didn't even own a boat. And then snow skiing, horse riding, motorbike riding, all of these things was something that I really was excited about doing and wanted to do. A lot of young people like this kind of thing, especially young guys, I think. We're always looking for thrills, and different people experience different things to have those thrills or do different things to have those thrills. But I'd like to read one verse here from the Bible, and my topic is focused on God's peace, something that gives us the deepest fulfillment, the deepest kind of thrill, the deepest kind of satisfaction. So first of all, John chapter 14, 27, I do have an older version, so if you have a newer version, it's going to be slightly different. John 14, verse 27, when Jesus was speaking and said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So he's saying, I'm giving you my peace. Not the same kind of peace that the world gives, not the same kind of satisfaction that the world gives. Oftentimes false satisfaction or false thrills or just shallow thrills. I'm giving you something that will go deeper. So when you go to your through these trials and difficult times and challenges, you will still feel peace. When you face struggles in life, you will still feel peace. It's easy enough when everything is going smoothly, but when things get harder, then it's like, what is going to happen? And we like to make sure we can control the situation. But we often don't appreciate this, what Jesus has given us. God knows, though, that in the hustle and the bustle of life and our endless cycle of appointments that we book between work, social, recreation, that the devil, Satan, will be successful at taking us away from the true source of peace, taking our eyes off Christ, that our peace will get taken away, we'll become unhappy, and our lives will seem like drudgery. And we might be able to fill it somehow. Sin actually can take, will take the place of the purpose-filled life. And then discontent will take the place of peace and contentment. Our lives will become unsatisfying and unfulfilling. Our happiness will be at the mercy of circumstances. And our feelings or emotions will go up and down as positive or negative circumstances happen to us. And we do seek thrills and things to give ourselves satisfaction, but they're only on the surface. They don't give us the deepest kind of satisfaction. They don't give us the deepest kind of peace. But this is what we want, isn't it? I think that's something we really do want. Sometimes I am, you know, with other people, and I have a girlfriend now, and before that it was one thing when things got frustrating and circumstances went bad. You know, you could let out everything just yourself. But then when you have someone close, then sometimes you learn something about yourself that you didn't realize before. And circumstances, I think, affect us more than... But we don't want to let them circumstances affect us. We want to be in control of that. But somehow, we do get affected. But this is what Jesus says. I want to give you peace that will keep you consistent, that will keep you feeling this peaceful through those challenges. Anyway, we'll go on. We'll look at some more verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what will bring us peace, being justified by God. Being justified by faith, it is freedom from sin, because justified, what are we justified from? It's justified from this sin. And so getting rid of sin, detaching ourselves from this is what ultimately will give us peace. The right road, the right direction, the pathway of right really is what will bring us true peace. We can never experience the genuine peace of God while we are clinging on to sin, I believe this will affect us, because it affects our connection to God, and that's that connection with Him is what ultimately gives us that peace. And we see this further. Romans has a lot to say about peace and the struggle between good and evil, and that struggle that we have in our nature, our sinful natures. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 17. So just some verses here, and it says, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. So no one naturally wants this path of right, or no one is naturally going down this path of right. We are all going the wrong way. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So there it clarifies a bit more. We're not going down this path of right, we are going in another direction. We are seeking after something else. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open... There's some interesting words in the old English here. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. So this is talking about the natural sinful nature and where we are naturally going, and then it talks about the results of that and what it produces. It's not peaceful, it's painful, and these people haven't experienced peace. That's the point of this. They have not understood, they have not known. So just after the unrighteous, these people are described, it gives us a clue on how they really feel inside. Just because someone says that they're having a lot of fun, they're having a lot of thrills, they're having a great time, they're having a great life, doesn't necessarily mean that they have that inner contentment and peace. And it says here they don't know what peace is. The true reality of their condition is misery. Romans chapter 8 again. So we're in Romans chapter 8 verse 6. It says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." When you are discontent, unsatisfied, and you don't have that peace of God which he gives, it's... we're not living. We're not really living, because it says here it's death. We're not died. We're not dead. We're living, but we're not really living. We're not having that true fulfilled life. But if we have that spiritual mind, we have life and peace. Life and peace are, I guess, synonymous here. So many times we are tempted to think, and I think this is especially younger people, we are tempted to think that the ways of the world, the fashions of the world, the pleasures, the thrills, is what will bring us happiness and fulfillment. I know that's the case with me, definitely. I've gone after so many things, and not that those things are wrong, but it's like we are constantly thinking of things that will give us that thrill. What a lie the devil has been successful in leading us to believe. But this hasn't proven true. The ways of the world, or the sinful ways, is not what brings us contentment. Because as we look across the world, as this sinful nature has come out more and more and become stronger and stronger in society in general, more misery, more discontentment, more unhappiness has come as a result, and it's increasing. We know this because over 3,000 people die of suicide in Australia every year. Actually, this was a couple of years ago, so it could have increased since then. Over 3,000 just in Australia every year, and this is the leading cause of death. That's an average of 8 every day. And in US, 30,000 die from suicide every year. That's in the US. So this proves that many are unhappy, they are unsatisfied, and that the pressures of life are taking over. And God promises to fill us so that we don't feel empty, so that we feel like our lives are worthwhile. God's promising this, and somehow we struggle to believe it. It's like, no, God's only wanting to restrict us. But God wants to give us everything. He wants to fulfill us, and so that we don't want to go after other things. Desire of Ages, really inspirational book that talks about Christ's life and all the lessons that he taught. Page 187, Desire of Ages says, "He who seeks to quench his thirst at the fountains of this world will drink only to thirst again. Everywhere men are unsatisfied, they long for something to supply the need of the soul. Only one can meet that want. The need of the world, the desire of the desire of all nations is Christ. The divine grace, which he alone can impart, is as living water, purifying, refreshing, and invigorating the soul. It's interesting, we can't always describe what water does to us. But when we are thirsty, we know we need it, and it's the most pleasant thing at the time that we can have. Without it, we can't function properly, the brain slows down, your throat goes dry, and it's just like the thirst of the soul. You feel dry and unrefreshed without spiritual water. There's something missing. There is something we know we need to function better or to have the most fulfilled lives. And this is what God keeps offering. Here in Isaiah chapter 55, sometimes, you know, we always look at the New Testament as the positive Testament, the positive part of the Bible, and then the Old Testament is all negative and all judgments. But there's enough verses, I believe, in the Old Testament to show that it's the same God who's speaking. It's the same God of love, and he wants to give us good things. This is Isaiah 55, first three verses. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. The Bible's always describing things that we have, that we eat, that we deal with here to show us the benefits or the blessings that we can receive spiritually. By eat, by wine, by milk, drink water, and it's free and it's flowing. Eat what is good. Eat what is going to be the best for you. And it says here, incline your ear, come to me here, and your soul shall live. So if you buy of me, if you come to me for all the benefits and the blessings of life and the peace and the satisfaction, your soul will live. You will have a real life. You will have the most full life. Are you thirsty? Are you unsatisfied? Jesus says, come. Because we'll only be fed and filled fully when we come in contact with him. And of course, we have the story of Jesus with a woman at the well in John chapter 4. And he's talking to her and says, Whoever drinks of this water, that's the water from the well, will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water that I will give shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want to drink this and we want to be satisfied, without trying to look for something more, without trying to find something. We're always trying to find something that will satisfy us. How is it that we'll never thirst again? Again, going on in Desire of Ages explains a little bit more here. Jesus did not convey the idea that merely one draught of water of life would suffice the receiver. He who tastes of the love of Christ will continually long for more, but he seeks for nothing else. The riches, honors, pleasures of the world do not attract him. The constant cry of his heart is more of you. And he who reveals to the soul its necessity is waiting to satisfy its hunger and thirst. Every human resource and dependence will fail. The cisterns will be emptied. The pools become dry. But our Redeemer is an inexhaustible fountain. We may drink and drink again and ever find a fresh supply. He in whom Christ dwells has within himself the fountain of blessing, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. From this source he may draw strength and grace sufficient for all his needs. For those circumstances that push us to the edge, for those times in life when we think, how can we go on when we're struggling so much? If Christ is dwelling in us, we will have strength and grace to get through those times. In Revelation 22, it says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So that's similar to the Old Testament in Isaiah that's talking, just come and take this water. Is anyone exempt or left out from this invitation? No, it says whoever will, whoever wants to take that water. Oh, thank you. The water of life. I was getting more and more thirsty as I'm talking about the water. So, the question is, who will accept this invitation that Christ is so lovingly holding out to us all? Why are we so hesitant from taking that priceless gift? Why don't we want it? Maybe we feel we might be losing something if we take him fully. If we take this direction of life that God wants us to go, if we let him in fully, we might be restricted, we might be limited. I remember when I was young, I grew up as an Adventist Christian in a family, a good Christian family, but I hadn't made that commitment to God just yet, and I was talking with my brother about it one day, and I'm thinking maybe I'll get baptized soon, and he said, we hadn't really talked about this kind of thing before, and he said to me, I want to live life a bit more before this step. And it was very interesting. It came as a little bit of a surprise to me because we'd never talked about this kind of thing. And this actually propelled me to make that decision. I'm thinking, what am I going to lose? How much more safe and secure secure will our life be in God's hands? He can give us everything that we need. So that's when I gave my heart to God. It says here in Matthew 5 verse 6, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." It's not just some decree from God, some law from God saying that if we do the right thing, then God will be happy and pleased. This is not what it's about. Of course, God will be happy, but he is happy because we are happy. This is what God wants. He wants us to be happy. That's the whole point. This is for our own good. This is a blessing for us. We will be filled. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, famous verses. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So Jesus says, come, I will give you rest, rest from the deep burdens of your soul, rest from wrongdoing and from the guilt and the unsatisfaction of these worldly pleasures. The burden I will give you is light. Yoking up with me will make it easy for your soul. You won't have a struggle in your soul. It will make your life easier, lighter than following what you naturally want to do, where you naturally want to go, which is generally pulling us away from God. Just a couple more verses. Job 22, acquaint thyself with him and be at peace, and then good will come to you. Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Perfect peace. A peace that will pass all understanding. And the peace as that hymn writer Horatio Spafford had when he had lost his son in the fires of Chicago in 1860, 61, somewhere there. And then he lost all of his wealth when the fires swept through. And then his four daughters and wife went on vacation to England. And on the ship, they collided with another ship and the ship sunk. And he received that telegram from his wife a few days later, which said, saved alone. And he had lost his four daughters in the Atlantic Ocean. And he really showed that he had experienced this peace, the peace that comes from God. When he wrote that hymn, when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. So it is only through knowing Christ and staying with him that we can have this genuine peace of mind. And my prayer is that each of us will keep this in our mind. Let us not let the devil distract us into thinking that other things will give us more satisfaction or more happiness and venture away from Christ. Let us hold fast to Christ, endure to the end. Let us experience true happiness here, everlasting happiness throughout all eternity. And to close, Romans again, chapter 8, verse 35, it says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? And it goes on and on. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. If we choose him, if we let him in, he will look after us. He will be there for us beyond anything else, all the way to the end. And I pray that we can remember these things. Thank you.